Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Question you often ask people, you say, are you creative? Everyone says, yeah, I'm kind of creative. You know, it's something that's seen as being inside everyone and inside every company and even inside every country at times. So my next guest has been crisscrossing the world to find out, is creativity different in certain places? Is it more, you know, captured and in certain areas or cultures and so on? So he's written a very interesting book called The World of Creativity, A Journey Across 37 Countries to Discover the Secrets of the Creative Mind. And that author is Frederic Herron, who's joining me now. Hello.
Hello.
It's great to have you along. Now, as I said in the intro, everyone would like to be seen as creative. It's seen as kind of a human good, something that you should have, and it's buried somewhere within everyone. But also, geographically, it's in certain places. Silicon Valley is one that will float to the surface a lot, but you've been to a farther flung places. You've been looked at a bigger sample size and so on. So is it present in certain places? Is that a thing, or is it just actually down to the individual?
Well, there is huge cultural differences in the level of creative confidence. For example, if you go to America and you ask Americans, do you think you are creative? 95% of them say yes. But if you go to South Korea or Japan, less than 20% say yes. But that doesn't mean that Japanese people or Korean people are less creative. It only means that they are less creatively confident. Or if you would like, maybe you would like to say that they are more humble. So there's actually no correlation between creative confidence and actual creativity.
Now, in this book, did you kind of come to a conclusion about what places were getting it right? Or did you actually come to the conclusion of saying it's not about place, it's about people?
I would like to, someone read the book and said that this is like the Anthony Bourdain of creativity. And I really love it because the whole idea is if you love food, you don't say one food is better than the other. You just said, wow, we do food in so many different ways around the world. I just want to learn about all these different ways. And you just want to learn about food. And we do creativity in slightly different ways around the world. And we should learn from each other.
Now, is it contained in the education system? Is it contained in business? Is it contained in, you know, just public civic life or whatever? Where is the creative? If you were to go and try and find it, where would you go?
It's everywhere. And the funny thing is, I've been studying creativity for 25 years. But 5 years ago, I said, why am I only interviewing business leaders and entrepreneurs and scientists and artists? I should interview all kinds of people. So the book all has a wide variety. I lived for 2 weeks with nomadic people in Mongolia. I said, what can the nomadic people of Mongolia teach us about creativity? I even went to North Korea.
Okay, well, sorry, I just have to tell me more about North Korea and creativity.
Well, I went there because everyone said to me, North Korea is the least creative country on the planet. And in many aspects, it is. And I have to just premise here or caveat, I'm not supporting the North Korean government in any way. It's a terrible
regime. No, that's taken as a given, but yeah.
But I have to say it. But I learned something about how they approach creativity in North Korea. They look at creativity as a collective skill, not an individual skill, like how we look at communication. You can't communicate unless you have someone else. So they look at creativity as something that we do together. Now, and I like to exemplify this with how Taylor Swift gave $10,000 or $10,000 at least to every truck driver on her tour, because she knows that there won't be a Taylor Swift successful tour unless she has these truck drivers. But in the West, we give so much focus on the creative star. We don't see anyone else. I think the movie industry is maybe the best example. At the end of the movie, you see every single name of the person who worked on that movie. Even the caterer's name is on there, because the people who make movies know that we need everyone to create a movie. And I like that approach to creativity. It's a collective thing we do together.
Now, there's different types of creativity. A lot of people may, and I don't know whether you cover this in the book, but I'm sure you'll be able to tell me, is creativity to what purpose? And what I mean by that is, you know, people invented the atomic bomb. What was it good that we had the atomic bomb? People might quibble with that. And we see a lot of innovation and very strong creativity in social media, developing and expanding these platforms and so on. But sociologists and many other critics would say, yeah, that's all very creative, but does it add to a net benefit for the human race generally? And maybe that's a high bar, but do you get into any of that sort of discussion about, yes, creative is great, but what is its sort of a social outcome, if I can call it that?
No, you're absolutely right. First of all, creativity is to make a solution that is better than what we already had, but it's always from the perspective of the person who came up with the idea. So I'm sure Bin Laden thought that 9/11 was super creative, but I think most Americans or all Americans will agree that that was not a, that was a terrible idea. But I was recently in the slums of Manila and to see how they an organization works with the people in the, and they asked me, Frederick, what do you think is the biggest problem in the slums of Manila right now? What would you guess?
Well, poverty and destitution and material wants.
Yeah, they said mobile phones.
Wow.
Because the parents don't understand what smartphones is or are, which means people come there with smartphones and give them away to young teenage girls and say, why don't you record a video here? I'll give you a little bit of money. And the parents don't even understand what's going on. So they have a huge problem of educating the parents that if the girl, if their daughter suddenly have a lot of money, you need to check what they're doing. Who would have thought when we invented a mobile phone that that would be the problem in the slums of Manila? So, of course, every time we invent something, we also create new problems. But overall, I think we can all agree that we live in a better world today than we did 200 years ago or 400 years ago or 500 years ago. So overall, creativity is a wonderful tool to make the world better.
So should we sort of question, should we have that question in the back of our mind all the time when somebody says, I've done this or I've got a new thing or a new efficiency or a new way of looking at something? Should we say, well, hang on, what does this mean for the rest of us?
I think you're right. You know this classic slogan from the 80s, think global, act local? I've rewritten it, so it's now think human, act humane, meaning when we come up with an idea, we should think, does this work for everyone? Like, I didn't write a book for Swedish people. I wrote a book for people everywhere around the world. So think human, and then think humane, meaning, is this idea really good for us? Not just me or my closest, you know, my company or my family, or but is it good for me, my company, my family, and for humanity at large? That is definitely something that we need to start thinking more about.
Now, lots of countries would lay claim to this sort of idea of being like kind of an island of creativity, etc. But we have this idea of hubs, ecosystems. Silicon Valley is one of them. And this is the idea passed down over many generations that you bring people together into one geographical area and they meet up and they network and they collaborate and all the rest of it. And Silicon Valley is one of those. You see, you know, financial services in London, you know, you've got different little sort of little mini worlds where the certain competencies are brought together. In your book about creativity, did that still stand up, the idea of putting people in together cheek by cheek, as it were? Is that still the best way to encourage and foment creativity, or is that fraying a little bit as the decades go on?
I mean, we call it clusters. I lived in Singapore for 20 years. I just moved back to Sweden. Okay, Singapore wants to be a cluster for basically anything. Of course, clusters are meaningful and they really work. But I would also like to say one insight that came with me. I was recently in Bhutan and I was interviewing Bhutanese people about creativity. You know, it's this Shangri-La kind of a country. And then for some reason, I went to a web design agency. And as soon as I stepped into that web agency, it looked just like any other web agency anywhere in the world. You know, there was a big orange wall with a logo of the company. There were little Star Wars figures on top of the computer. They had black, wearing all black. And I remembered I visited a web design studio in Ulaanbaatar. It was the same thing. And then I go to Berlin or Stockholm. Web design people look exactly the same, no matter where you go. And that's because now, because of the internet, we can also now connect across our interests or our professions across the world. So clusters are still important, but professionals are connecting with interesting people like you and I are. I'm sitting in Stockholm right now and I'm talking to you. And people are starting to do that much more. And I think at the end, that means we become more like our professions.
Now, in terms of creative achievement, so we've got, like, in the last few years, you had the movie Oppenheimer and so on, and there is that slightly kind of great man view of history type thing. Do we get a little bit hung up on sort of this one signature spasm of creativity and this particular person did this big thing that we all know about, and we maybe neglect the smaller little micro things that are going on all of the time? So we have that sort of bias towards the big, shiny, exploding thing in our face, rather than small day-to-day bits of creativity that maybe happen on a floor of a company or happening within a family unit or university lab or whatever. Do we have that sort of bias towards what's in front of us?
I think it's a very good observation. And I don't want to take anything away from those brilliant ideas. That's what moves humanity forward. But I totally agree with you. I say my goal is not to get the top 1% of the people in a company to become way more creative. I want everyone in the company to become slightly more creative. That's where the potential is. I want every individual to become more creative. But I also like, people come often say to me, oh, Fredrik, don't you feel sad about for all these uncreative people in the world? And I said, no, I don't. Of course, I wish they would become more creative, but I don't feel sad about them. I feel sad about the most creative people in the world that are not doing even more to become even more creative. Imagine if the 0.1% most creative people in the world spend even more time developing their creativity.
Right, so it's the squandered opportunity that you look at.
I want everyone to become much more creative, okay, regardless of where they are. It's not a competition. Creativity is not a competition.
Well, I'd say you exhibited a fair bit of creativity yourself in getting into North Korea among the 37 countries you visited to put this piece of work together. Well done on it. That's Fredrik Herren, who is our Herren. He's the author of World of Creativity, A Journey Across 37 Countries, Discover the Secrets of Creative Minds.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.